No, no, I'm feeling better. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I should have ate breakfast this morning. I had to go in and out of here. I needed something to perk me up a bit. But it's good to be with you. Good to know that God is at work in our lives, even in the midst of pain and suffering and even death. This week in Bible study, we studied this story of Lazarus. And when Lazarus heard his name called by Jesus, even though he was dead, he heard the voice of his shepherd. And there was nothing else for Lazarus to do but to jump out of that tombstone, or jump out of that grave, and to go and be with his shepherd, his king. And I pray it's the same for all of us, that when you hear Jesus calling your name, there's nothing else that you want to do but to follow him, and to be with him, and to go wherever he's calling you to go. Come with me into Scripture this morning. Gospel of Luke. Out of reverence for the gospel, I invite you to stand with me in body or in spirit to show our respect for the one who loves us so much and share with us this story today. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see Jesus, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So Zacchaeus came down, and at once he welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter and murmur, "He has gone to be a guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Jesus is the Word of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated, friends. Join with me in prayer. God, we need you every hour, and we need this moment to be your moment. We need these words to be your words. We need our thoughts to be your thoughts, our actions to be your actions. And so in this time, shape us and mold us more and more in your image, that we might better reflect the grace that you give to us through your Holy Spirit. May I decrease and may you increase in this time. Use my words. Use this time. It is yours in Jesus' name. Amen. We have come to this season called Halloween, which is tomorrow. It's also Reformation Day, the celebration of 500 years ago, Martin Luther saying to the church, "You know what? There are things in church that aren't right, and they need to be changed." The other thing that happens at Halloween is we change in our stores. No longer do they have the Halloween candy. No longer do they have the Halloween decorations. Tomorrow, when you go to the store, if you go to Walmart or a department store, what will it look like? Christmas, which is 2 months away. In fact, some stores are already in the process of having their Christmas stuff out. So all the Halloween candy goes off the shelves and is replaced with Christmas candy. All of the Halloween decorations, they come down and they're put up Christmas decorations. And one of the things that takes place in Christmas, and we do it here at this church, is we put up those nativity scenes. Scenes of Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus, all there gathered together. And sometimes what happens when you have a nativity scene is some mischief takes place. And somebody steals baby Jesus. And sometimes you'll see baby Jesus in the most unusual of places. Sometimes baby Jesus is replaced. I've heard of baby Jesus being replaced with a Thanksgiving turkey in the manger. I've heard stories of baby Jesus showing up in different parts of the community when somebody steals baby Jesus out of the nativity. But usually around Christmas, baby Jesus always makes his way back. But the question that gets asked in a community is, have you found Jesus? Have you found Jesus? Of course, they're talking about the little baby Jesus in the manger, but what a question. What a question. The movie Forrest Gump, many years ago, Lieutenant Dan asked Forrest Gump, have you found Jesus yet? And Forrest Gump's answer was, I didn't know I was supposed to be looking for him. And indeed, that's the case. That is the case. And this story in the gospel this morning reaffirms what it really is all about. We don't find Jesus. It's Jesus who seeks us out. It's Jesus who goes looking for us. Jesus who finds us in the world. In this story, Jesus seeks out Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is up in a tree. Poor Zacchaeus. He gets the little story. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. So he gets the reputation throughout all of history as this short guy. I don't know how tall or short Zacchaeus was, but I know every time I see him depicted in some picture, he's a midget. Poor Zacchaeus, he gets reduced to this elf-sized man who climbs up in this tree because the crowd won't let him in. He wants to see Jesus. He doesn't know why. Scripture doesn't say why he wanted to see Jesus, but I like to add my own thoughts into the story. Maybe you do too. You take a scripture and you think about it in your terms. Now, if I'm trying to see somebody so badly that I, maybe in my suit, would be willing to climb up a tree. Can you imagine Pastor Jim climbing a tree, trying to see somebody to just to look at them? That's Zacchaeus. That's the way that he lowers himself. I want to see Jesus. I don't know why. There's something about this man that's different from everybody else. And I want to see him. So he climbs the tree, and he's looking. And then Jesus finds him. In his situation, in his humility up in this tree, there's Jesus. Hi, Zacchaeus. Get out of that tree. Because I have come into your life. And not only that, but I'm going to your house. How often we go looking for Jesus. We hear about him. We know that he does great things. Maybe we still haven't quite gotten to the point where we know Jesus. And then it's Jesus in our situation, whether we are down in a sewer, whether we are totally lost, it's Jesus who calls to us. Whatever that state is that you're in, come be with me. And not only that, but I'm going to your house. I'm going to travel in this thing called life with you for a while. And just like Zacchaeus, our life will never be the same when Jesus comes into our house. You never know where you're going to end up when Jesus gets a hold of you. Wimber was not on our map, but here we are because Jesus said, come with me. Come on this adventure with me and see where I take you. Jesus is the one who is seeking for us. And this is nothing new in Scripture. Let's go all the way back to Genesis. Let's look at Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve eat that fruit. Oh, it's so good. But then they realize that they've disobeyed God. They've sinned. And they run away and they hide in trees, thinking God won't find them. And if God had chosen, they would have run away for the rest of their lives. But what happens? God goes into the garden. Adam, where are you? God knew where Adam was. But God extended a hand. I know what you did. I know the sin in your life. But I'm seeking you out. Come back. Come back to me. Zacchaeus, come back. You're a child of Abraham. You're a child of Abraham. Come with me. Give up your life of sin. Get out of the tree. And come experience new life. A transformed life. That doesn't look like the old life that you used to live. But it looks more and more like the one who has reached out his hand to you. And invites you to come and be a part of what he's doing in the world. For Zacchaeus, that meant the worldly wealth that he had accumulated by dishonesty and by abuse of his neighbors, his brothers and sisters, it meant giving that up. Giving half of his wealth away. Saying to anybody who I've wronged, I'll give you back four times what I owe. It's going to ruin him. He's not going to live in that big fancy house anymore. But his life is never going to be what it was before, where he's climbing into a tree just to get a glimpse of Jesus. His life is going to look more and more like the one who has saved him. And that is Christ's invitation to each one of us. I know a lot of your situations, I really do. I know a lot of you have been living this thing called Christian life for a very long time. Maybe since you were little kids, and you don't even remember the day when Jesus said, come with me. For others of you, that moment, that date is very clear. Maybe there was a moment in a place like this where you said, Jesus, I want to come with you. You found me, you've called me, and I want to live my life with you for the rest of my life. And for some of you, maybe that moment has never taken place. Maybe you're still in the tree, waiting for that moment when Jesus says, come with me. Maybe that moment is right now. And no matter where you are in your life, no matter what your situation is, no matter how far away you feel from Jesus, let me assure you, if you're here in this place, the Holy Spirit has called you to be here. And if you feel as far away from Jesus as Zacchaeus, I have good news. I have the gospel for you. Jesus is calling to you, reaching out to you. Saying, come with me. Come experience new life with me. So that you'll look less and less like whatever it is the world has made you to be, and you look more and more like the one who is calling you to come with him. And it doesn't need to be some big fancy moment where you come forward and kneel and all, anything like that. It can be in your pew right now. But if you haven't said, yes, Jesus, you found me, and I want to go with you. Won't you say yes? Won't you allow him to change your life like never before? Won't you allow him to pull you out of whatever tree you're in and be made new in his image? I invite you to pray with me. God, you know the situation of each one of us in this room. For some of us, we have known you and walked with you for a very, very long time. We don't even remember the day when it happened, but we know that you found us wherever we were. And no matter how long ago that was, God, we recommit ourselves to you. We recommit ourselves to that moment when we said, we want to go with you, Jesus. And you said yes to us and invited us along. God, for many of us, some of us in this room, we know the moment when it took place, when there was some moment in our lives where we knew we were never going to be the same. Maybe it was a little while ago, maybe it was a long time ago, but God, we recommit ourselves to that moment. We recommit ourselves to that journey that you've invited us at some point in our lives to come along with you. We want to look like you. We want to be like you. And God, there are even some in this room who have never come out of the tree. And you're calling to them, each one, saying, come with me, and your life will never be the same. Come with me, and your sin will be forgiven. Come with me, and your heart, your soul will be made wondrously and miraculously clean and new. God, for those of us who don't know you, we know your calling. Help us to say yes. Help us to come out of our tree. Help us to walk with you and allow you by your grace, your Holy Spirit, to transform us and make us more and more like you. This is the prayer of your church. We offer to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God loves you, and so do I. Let's stand.